Okay, today's stuff is Kuf Yud Bet. We're going to go back and review some of the stuff from yesterday to just organize. So we'll start with the sheet that I handed out, which is partly from the sheet from yesterday, the beginning part. So we have the two psukim again. We have a Yikra Yutet, which says, Lo Shat Tashok Erecha V'lo Tigzol, Lo Talim Pu'ulat Zachir Itcha Ad Boker. We're going to darshan a lot of this today. That's talking about Zachirut Yom. But you can't, if somebody works for you during the day, you have to pay them by the morning, meaning you have all night to pay them. The second section in Dvarim, the rabbis say, is talking about Schirut Laila. And they derive that because it says in the second pasuk there, Biyomo Tutein Scharo, right? He gets paid during the day. So therefore, the rabbis say the first section is Schirut Yom, this is Schirut Laila. There's two psukim here, and this is where it caused a little confusion for me yesterday, which now I have a little better organized. There's two things here. There's a lota say of lota ashok sachir aniv evyon me'achecha u'migarcha asher ba'artzecha bisharecha. And that was the pasuk we darshan to include, right, to exclude the non-Jew from achecha, to include a regular ger from gercha, ba'artzecha, I'm sorry, bisharecha was to include the ger toshav. Then we have biyomoti tein scharo. You have to pay him that day. That's a mitzvah aseh. V'lo tavo alav hashemesh. You can't wait until the sun sets. Some people say that's another lo ta'aseh. Ki anihu, because he's poor. Ve'elavu noseh et nafsho. We'll see what this means today. V'lo yikra alecha l'ashem v'ayabachachet. And as you shouldn't call out to God. And as he, basically the pshat sounds like he's dependent on you, right? He's poor and he's dependent on you. And he shouldn't call out to God and then God will punish you. It's very interesting concept that only if he calls out to God will God punish you, right? What do you mean? God doesn't notice either, right? It's an interesting. Anyway, that's separate. Okay, we saw a three-way machloket about what it doesn't discuss here is it does discuss people working. We assume a sachir is someone you hire to work for you. It doesn't talk about what if you rented behema o kelim, right? There was a debate about that. So if you see, just look through the chart. So our Mishnah in Tana Debei Rabbi Yishmael said, Sachar Beima and Kelim, you're over on both. Both Biyomoti Tein Scharo, the Aseh of that, and the and of the Schirut Laila, and the Lot Aseh of Vayikra, of the Schirut Yom. Okay? So again, there were two ways we said of interpreting it, which caused a little confusion. One is to say there's an Aseh and a Lot Aseh involved. Another way of looking at it, which is kind of the way that we're going to go with, is just that it's talking about Schirut Yom versus Schirut Laila. Okay, in other words, do we say that, and then we end up saying that according to this, Sachar Beima Okelim, you rent and you don't pay, so you're over on both Schirut Yom and both Schirut Laila, whether you rented it during the day, whether you rented it at night, we're supposed to pay during the day, etc. Tanakama says the same thing here. Tanakama of Me'achecha, right? There was a drasha on the words Me'achecha. There was Tanakama there who also holds it applies to both, and we learn that he's Doresh Agzera Shava of Sakhir Sakhir, because Sakhir appears in Dvarim and it also appears in Vayikra, since we learned out from Dvarim that the Sakhar Ve'ma'o Kelim is included, we're also going to learn that it's included in the section on Vayikra. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda says, this is where I was a little off yesterday, I think, he says, you're only over on Lota Ashok, and this is where there's a bit of confusion, which is, it's the Schirut Laila case, but he seems to be specifically saying only lo ta'ashok, only the lo ta'aseh, and not the aseh of biyomoti tein scharo. And that's why the Gemara later asked, that was where I also got a little confused, there was a question, they said, well, if you're going to chayav him milo ta'ashok, you should also make him chayav in biyomoti tein scharo, because if you're already including him in the schirut laila, then you should obviously also include him in the aseh that goes with the schirut laila. Okay, that was the question of the Gemara, and the answer was, who remembers? The answer was biyomoti tein scharo v'lo tavo alav hashemesh ki anihu. Remember, only if right they said misha bali de'aniut v'ashirut. Okay, this is the first rasha on the bottom chart. V'lo tavo alav hashemesh ki anihu. Only misha bali de'aniut v'ashirut. But yatzu behema v'kelim, because they don't, right? Yeah, it's true. You're paying somebody, but the point is you're paying someone for the work of the animal, and the animal can't ever get poor. So because of the ki anihu, we're excluding him from this issue. Okay. So according to Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, sachar behema and kelim is only in a case of schirut laila, and it's only the lo ta'aseh, not the aseh. Okay. It's not the biyomoti tein scharo. And when it comes to Ger Toshav, okay, he's somewhat consistent that he's going to say it's also only relevant in Biyomoti Tein Scharo and not in the Schirut Yom. Okay, so both of the cases he holds that they only apply to Schiur Laila. He just distinguishes when it comes to Sechar B'Man Kelim, there's no Aseh of B'Yamoti Tein Schiur. Okay, and then what's his reason? Okay, so number one, he doesn't have this Gzera Shava. Okay, this is the last thing in the chart. And Velo Tavo, and then, right, because he doesn't have the Gzera Shava, and also he says Velo Tavo Alav Hashemesh Ki Anihu, and that's why he's only in Lo Tashok. This, by the way, seems to imply, again, it's not 100% clear, but because he says the words that it's only, if you look at his words, okay, it's near the top of about 8 lines from the top of Kuf Yud Aleph Amubet, it says, Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ger Toshav Yesh Bo Mishum Yamanana, Ve'em Bo Mishum Bal Talin, and the behemah kelim emem ela mishum bal ta'ashok bilvad, which I think means like this. Either, right, until now we've been saying yamoti tein scharo versus right, lo talim. Is it one or the other, right? Now, he doesn't say it's only for yamoti tein scharo. So it sounds like what he's saying is, again, this goes against the Rambam's interpretation, who thinks that this means there's an aseh versus a lo taseh, right? In other words, if you say it's only b'yamoti tein scharo, it's not lo talin, that means there's an aseh, there's not a lo taseh. But I think that what, if we go with the interpretation that we're reading in the Gemara, which is we're distinguishing between schirut laila and schirut yom, then when you say it's b'yamoti tein scharo, you mean it's also the lo taseh of lo tashok. And when he comes and says, it's only lo tashok bilvad, in other words, really what this means is there's both. When we say b'yamoti tein scharo and lo tashok, we mean that there's both. We mean, you know, when we say it's b'yamoti tein scharo, it means, and everything that goes in that section, which is the ase of that, the lo taseh of lo tashok, you can even say the lo taseh if you read it, the lo tavo alav Hashemesh is another lo taseh, you're involved in all that, right? Because Srirut Laila applies to you. But when he says specifically in Beimain Kelim, you rent an animal or something, it's only in Lotashok, meaning B'yomoti Tein Scharo is not relevant, meaning you're only over on the Lotaseh of Lotashok, and you're not over on anything in that second pasuk, and that was because of the Strashul Drasha of Ki Anihu, right? That only something that could become Ani, like the Sakhir, but not an animal or Kelim. Okay? So that gets us to what we're up to yesterday. Okay? I'm not going to review the what the other guy darshans from Ki Anihu, you know, about Ani Ashir, right? We had the different options there and why you would need, according to Tanakhama of Me'afecha, you could just follow in the chart, right? You would need one, right, because there's Lo Tashok Sakhir Ani Ve'Evyon and Ki Anihu, and one is Latim Ani Lashir, and one is Latim Ani Le'Evyon, and then we got into why you need both. Okay? That's where we ended yesterday. So now we're going to continue. We're going to have a longer slew of drashot today, and then we're going to get to other stuff, which is much simpler. Okay, now we're up to Vitana Didan. I think that's where we ended. Okay, so it's Lo Tzricha. Tzricha is the first word on the line. We're about 15 to 20 lines from the bottom. Vitana Didan Manashach. Now we have to explain. So we explained Tanakama of Me'achecha, Gzera Shava Sakhir Sakhir. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda says, I don't have Gzera Shava. Right? And Lo Tavo Alav Hashemesh Ki Anihu excludes, right? If you don't have the Gzera Shava, then it's only in Schirut Laila of the B'yamoti Tein Scharo. And then when it comes to the Sachar B'Ma'al Kelim, you're even not going to include him in the Aseh of B'yamoti Tein Scharo. He's just going to be in the Lo Tasho. That's because of Ki Anihu. Now, what about our Tana? Because if you remember, right, it was Tanakama of Me'achecha. And Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Yehuda were somewhat consistent. Right? Either it applies across the board or it doesn't apply at all, right? Even if you distinguish a little bit within the Sechar B'Ma'al Kelim. But it's either, right, Schirut Laila, a Schirut Yom applies, or only Schirut Laila applies. Right, it's either both apply or only Schirut Laila applies. So now what about the Tana of our Mishnah? The Tana of our Mishnah, look back at the chart again if you don't remember, said by Sechar B'Ma'al Kelim, it's both Schirut Yom and Schirut Laila. But when it comes to Ger Toshav, it's only B'Yomoti Tein Scharo, the Schirut Laila. So why does the Tana of our Mishnah distinguish? So Tana Didan, Manavshach, either which way you look at it, it doesn't make sense. If you're going to have this Gzera Shava, then you're going to learn everything that applies to B'yamoti Tein Scharo is also going to be in Bal Talin, which means both of them are going to apply across the board. And Iyo lo yalef sachir sachir. So if you're not going to learn sachir sachir like Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda, then behema v'kelim minale. Then how are you going to learn that behema and kelim also apply to lo talin? Okay, so what do we answer? Lo olam lo yalef sachir sachir. V'shane hatam da'amar kra. Now he's going to have a new drasha. Okay, what does it say in the pasuk of Baal Talin? Now we're going to have to explain. There's something in the pasuk of Baal Talin in the Vayikra pasuk, the Schirut Yom, which is going to include someone who's sachar behema u'kelim. What does it say there? V'lo talin pu'ulat sachir itcha ad boker. What does it mean, itcha, with you, ad boker? Kol shepu'ulatcha itcha. What does it mean? Anyone who does work with you. So if you rent a behema or a kelim, so you have an esek, you have a business with some person, itcha. So therefore, we're going to include someone who rents an animal or a kelim. By the way, I didn't mention this, but there's a whole machloket about whether, notice it only says sachar behema or kelim, it doesn't talk about renting a house or property. So there's a machloket among the mefarshim whether renting a house is included in sachar behema or kelim, or it's something entirely different and it's not relevant at all to this halacha. It's a whole separate thing. So ihachi, now wait a minute, if you're going to say itcha, kol shepu'ulatcha itcha, so afilu ger toshav nami, you should include also the ger toshav, right? So amar kra re'echa. What does it say? They're lo ta'ashoke re'echa. What does re'echa come to exclude? Re'echa v'lo ger toshav. So then they say, wait a minute, ihachi afilu be'ma okelim nami. Re'echa comes to say your friend. Well, what about an animal, right? An animal's not your friend. Kelim are not your friend, so it should exclude that. This is one of those cases where they're going to say it's a little bit arbitrary. What you came to include, right? There's an inclusion and there's an exclusion. What made you say, right? Haktiv. So now they say, well, Be'ma Kelim were included by the inclusion. Haktiv Itcha. So Itcha came to include the Be'ma Kelim, and Re'acha came to exclude the Ger Toshav. So the Gemara is going to ask, Ma Ra'ita L'Rabo Be'ma Kelim Ulotzi Ger Toshav. Why did you do it that way? You could have said itcha comes to include someone who does work for you, that's a ger toshav. And, right, an extra person who does work for you as opposed to just a regular Jew. And re'echa comes to say, well, when it's a friend, not, you know, an inanimate object like a kli or an animal, which is not a person. So you could have easily have said that. So why did you do it this way? Mistabra behemau kelim havale l'rabot sheken yeshnam bichlam mamon re'echa. Ger toshav eino bichlam mamon re'echa. Okay, in other words, when you rent a behema u'kelim, you're dealing with a person who's re'echa, who's a full-fledged Jew. Whereas a ger toshav is not a full-fledged Jew, so when we're going to exclude someone, we're going to exclude him.
So you can't rent those items from a non-full-fledged
Jew. So if you rented them from a ger toshav, then it obviously wouldn't be relevant, right? You'd be in the ger toshav category. So that's how we learn that this whole pasuk of the Schirut Yom doesn't apply, that's how Tanakh Kamalan, it doesn't apply to the Ger Toshav. But it does apply to the Be'ma and Kelim. V'tana Kama Tavachecha, what I did at the bottom, by the way, I did it, it's not in the order of the Gemara exactly, but I showed you all the psukim and what everybody does with it. There's going to be a ping pong. So if you want to look later, you can organize it this way. The Gemara is kind of organizing it through what you darshan, and where do you learn that from, and then it flips back, you know, so here I organized it by pasuk. Who learns what from what pasuk? So now, Tana, lost my place once. The Tanakama de Me'achecha, Hai Re'echa Mai Avdele. Now, the Tanakama of Me'achecha included the Ger Toshav also in the Baal Talin pasuk. So what does he do with Re'echa? So, Ahu Mibayle L'chiditanya, Re'echa Velo Amaleki. Okay, now this is very strange. Mapito Amaleki, where do we ever get an Amaleki? So this is clearly one of those cases where there was a censorship. And it said Nochri, and they changed it to Amaleki, so that the Christians wouldn't get angry with them. They made it, you know, they turned the Akum into an Amaleki, in which case he's kind of, you know, has nothing to do with them. So if you look, for example, in the Koran, their edition says Re'echa Velo Nochri, and it doesn't say Re'echa Velo Amaleki. Or I even looked, when I was doing the sheet, I used the Proyecta Shoot to put the words on the page, and there it says Re'echa Velo Nochri. Okay, so not every word does it say it. So Re'echa Velo Amaleki. So really it means Re'echa Velo Nochri. So then they say, wait a minute, Amaleki Me'achecha Nafka. We already learned that, remember? Me'achecha, we said Velo Akum. So why do you need two psukim lehotzi the non-Jew? Right? Both? So what do they say? Chal le'mishra oshko v'chal le'mishra gozlo. One is to say that the nochri, you can oppress him, meaning you cannot pay him a salary. And one, if you remember, these psukim also include lo tigzol, right? In the pasuk of lo tashoker ve'echav lo tigzol, it's also that he's not included in gzela. If you steal from a non-Jew, you're not. It's not. You don't get the lo tasei of stealing.
It's okay.
What?
What's okay about that?
Right. It's a big question why this is okay. This is, again, one of those difficult sugiyot about, what do you mean you could steal from a non-Jew? Okay, so first of all, I don't think it means you could steal from him. I just think it means that it's a lesser offense if you steal from him. And that goes with the fact that, with the difficult fact that in the psukim it always says me'achecha, and that it's clearly these are laws relating to your brother and your, you know. And again, I think it has to do with their attitude toward the surrounding non-Jews who were trying to kill them, were, you know, a threat to them, etc.
Especially after they read this.
Especially after they read this, which is why there's a censorship. No, that's clearly why there was a censorship on this, because, you know, some places where it says Akum, who really cares? This is quite serious. This is, you know, you can steal from non-Jews. That's really a difficult passage, so you can see why this is the one that they censored.
Are we talking Gzela Mamash, or are we
talking about... Yeah, so Rashi says exactly your words. Look at Rashi, Gzela Mamash, he says. Okay. Exactly your words.
Yesterday we spoke about Gezel.
Yes,
as
you're
it
right.
Relates to Osha.
You're right. So it could be. Rashi says it means Gzela Mamash. Whether there's others who explain otherwise is a good question. But the truth is, it's obvious from the Hemshech of the Gemara that they're talking about Gzela Mamash, and you'll see in a minute. Now, why do you need a pasuk to say that you're not over on the lotase if you're Oshek Otam, and a pasuk to say you're not over on the lotase if you're Gozel Otam? Wouldn't it be, you know, similar? So what's the, why do you need both? Utsricha. Di'iash me'inan gazlo mishum de lo tarach be. What happens with Gezel? So Gezel, you steal something that probably this person didn't work so hard to acquire. Maybe they got it as a gift, maybe they inherited it, maybe they stole it, who knows? Right? We don't know how they got it. Aval oshko de tarach gabe emalo. But if you don't pay someone their salary, you know they did work for you, right? They worked very hard to get that money, and then you don't pay them. And v'iyashminan oshko mishum de lo ateliyade. Oshko is something that, right, when you go to get paid a salary, it's something you don't have in your hands yet. It's true, you did the work for it, but you don't actually have the money in your hands. Aval goes low, da ataliyade emalo, right? You might think, but Gezel is worse because, and therefore maybe we should include him, because you're taking something away that he actually already had in his possession, and therefore it's tzricha. Okay, now we're continuing on. So again, we're going to put this aside as one of those sugyot that we struggle with, right? As a, you know, how can our tradition tell us that it's okay to steal from non-Jews. Again, I'd rather understand that it's not that it's okay, it's just that you don't have the as severe penalty, you know, if you do it. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, hai lo talim pu'ulat sachir itcha boker mai avidle. So what does he do with the itcha? Okay, if you remember, we use the itcha to tell you the sachar behemao kelim. Right? And he doesn't think that Sachar Be'ma'o Kelim is in the Baal Talim Pasuk, in the Vayikra. Remember, look at the chart. He says it's only Lotas Shok of Dvarim, but not in Vayikra. So what does he do with this Itcha, my Avile? Mibayle l'chid Rav Asi. Dam Rav Asi. He needs it for what Rav Asi darshan from it. What does Rav Asi say? Afilu lo scharo ela livtzor lo eshkol achad shal anavim over mishum Baal Talim. What does that mean? If you hire some to the very smallest job, he's going to make very little money, and you don't pay him, you're still over on Baal Talim. And that he learns from Itcha. Anything anybody does with you, no matter what its size, how important it is, you're still chayav on Baal Talim. V'idach, okay, so if he uses Itcha for that, and the other guy uses Itcha for something else, so what's the other guy going to say about, right, where is he going to learn this halacha from? Tanakama Bar Mishnah, right? Tanakama Bar Mishnah Darshan, Itcha meant to include Sachar be'ma'o kelim. So what's he going to do with itcha? V'idach mi ve'elav hu noseet nafsho nafka. Davar hamoser nafsho alav. What is elav hu noseet nafsho? Not the way we read it in the pshat. Because he, right, worked for you, and therefore, right, he's dependent on you for his sustenance. No, what does it mean? Elav hu noseet nafsho. Davar hamoser nafsho alav. Anything that anyone dedicates themselves to, meaning, even Liptzor, Shkol Achad Shal Anavim, already you're over on Baal Talim. V'idach, so what now? What does the other guy do with that pasuk? Right? What does Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda do with the pasuk? Be'elavu noseet nafsho. Again, like I said, you could sort of follow on the chart if you want. It shows you what everybody darshins from everything. לחידתניה ואליו הוא נושא את נפשו, מפני מה עלה זה בכבש ונטלה באילן, ומסר את עצמו למיטה? For what did this guy go up on this big ramp or hang on this tree, right? And basically risk his life to die. By the way, this is a whole big issue in this country right now about all these people who are dying from these scaffolding, you know, things that are not safe. These workers are working, and there's a whole big debate about it. Like, are we allowed to let workers endanger themselves, endanger their lives for their work? And, we have to deal with it. So that's what this is saying. In other words, yeah, it's okay. People are endangering their lives. And what are they endangering their lives for? To make money. And if you don't pay them their money, right? So it's one of the top. Lo al tcharo, is it not to get paid? And how dare you? In other words, what's this really doing, according to him? It's in the pasuk to explain why it's so severe. This, if you remember, we said there's so many lo ta'aseis and there's an asei. And why is it so severe? Because this person risked his life to work for you. And if you don't pay him, that's terrible. Davar acher, ve'elav hu noseh et nafsho, kolach kovesh sachar sachir, ke'ilu notel nafsho mimenu. Okay, here's another one, which is, these are two options of what Rabbi Yossi bar Rabbi Yehuda could darshan here. Elav nafsei nafsho, meaning he's dependent on you. This is a little more the way we said it before, for sustenance, and therefore if you don't pay him, it's as if you're killing him. Now we're going to see who's killing who here, okay? Who's the notel nafsho? Notel nafsho shall me. Okay, I kind of explained that he's notel nafsho of the person he's not paying, but we're going to see in a minute. There's two different opinions, Rav Huna and Rav Chista. Chad amar nafsho shel gazlan, v'chad amar nafsho shel nigzal. One says, if you don't pay, you're killing yourself. And the other one is to say, if you don't pay, you're killing the person you're not paying. Okay? So, now we're going to have to explain each one. What does this mean? Manda amar nafsho shel gazlan, you're killing yourself. Why is that? Dichtiv, it says in Mishlei, al tigzol dal ki dalhu, don't steal from a poor person because he's poor. Va'al tidake ani bashar, and don't put down an ani in the shar, in the gates of the city. Uktiv, and the next pasuk is, ki Hashem yariv rivam v'kavat kovehem nafesh. Hashem fights their fight, and kill, right? And kovea, to those who are kovea otam, those who don't deal with them properly, God will kill them nefesh. Meaning, if you don't pay sachar sachir, you'll get punished by death. Okay? Human damar nafsho shel nigzal, dichtiv, the one who says you're killing the person who you're not paying, dichtiv ken orchot kol botzei abatza et nefesh ba'alav yikach. Anyone who does something bad, you know, financially to somebody else, is basically taking away the life of the person's owner, right? In other words, of the person who is owed the money. That's how they understand ba'alav here, right? So the person who's owed the money, you're basically taking away his life. Okay, so now we're going to have to do the ping pong. What do you mean? It says that pasuk. How can you explain it otherwise, right? If it says et ba'alav yikach, then obviously it's an afshol shel nigzal. And if it says kavad kovehem nafesh, so we're going to see. If it says et kovehem nafesh, then you're basically taking away the life of yourself. So you could say it's both, but they're going to have a different explanation. So v'idach nami haktiv et nefesh ba'alav yikach. So what does he say? Ba'alav dehashta. It's saying, he's taking his own life. Okay? In other words, it means the same thing as what he said about the other pasuk. Right? The ba'alav is not clear. The ba'alav of what? Okay? He's taking his own life. V'idach nami haktiv v'kavad kovehem nafesh. So now they explain. Matam kamar. This is to explain. Matam kavad kovehem. Why does he get the death penalty, right? Even though we know he doesn't get the death penalty, right? But why does it say in Mishnah that he's worthy of death? Mishum de netalo nafesh, right? Who gets killed? That's what Aviva's saying. It's really, this one says it's really both. It's that he causes the death of the other because he's not paying him his money, and people who have money won't be able to afford to live and they'll die. And therefore, he's deserving of death. So that one explains that it's actually both. The other one, interestingly enough, really only explains that he's killing himself and not actually killing the other person. Okay. This is obviously a little exaggerated, right? Because nobody's dying necessarily directly from you not paying your worker, but it's what it's trying to say is there's ramifications to your actions that might go beyond what you could see in the here and now. Okay. Tanu Rabbanan. Ematai. Back to the Mishnah now. Now it's going to get quite simpler. Bizman shetva'o, right? Only when the guy comes to get his money. But lo tva'o, if he doesn't come to get his money, eino aver alav. Okay, this is a little difficult because before we saw that, remember, the Ani was going to be embarrassed to come ask for his money, whereas the Avyon won't. It almost sounds like, there it sounded like even if he doesn't come ask for his money, you're still chayav. And here it seems to imply only when he asks for his money, but it could be also when he's expecting to get his money. So Tamud Tana Rabbanan lo talim pulat sachir yachol afilu lo tva'o. You might think even if he doesn't ask for it, Tamud lomar itcha lidaatcha. This means the itcha. There's a different drasha on the word itcha. Okay, lo talim pulat sachir itcha aboker. That means when you decide that you're not paying him. But if you both decide that it, you know, what I think they really mean is that if you both decide that it's okay that you don't pay me today, then that's fine, and there's no issue. It's only when it's itcha that you're the one deciding against the wishes of the other person. Yachol afilu ein lo. Here we get to what we mentioned yesterday a little bit. What if you don't have the money? Are you still chayav on bal talin? Let's say you don't have the money right now. Talmud lomar itcha. Sheyesh itcha. Sheyesh itcha. Okay, again, the darshan itcha means, it means you have the money and you don't pay him. Now, what it doesn't relate to is, so how could you possibly hire someone to do work for you if you don't have the money to pay him? So I assume that they really mean, you know, that you don't have the money today, you'll get your money later in the week when you get your paycheck, and then you can pay the guy, and that's okay. You really don't have the money on hand. But what would be in a case where you hired someone when you don't have money and you don't have a way to pay him in the future? That's another question that they don't seem to relate to. Lida'atcha, yachol afilu himchao etzal chanvani ve'etzal shulchani. Right? Maybe if you give it to the chemvani or the shulchani and they don't pay, maybe you'll be over on bal talin. Talmud lamar itcha. Third drasha of this, you know, we had another one, but this is the third drasha here of itcha. Below shimchao etzal chemvani ve'etzal shulchani. The money has to be with you and not that you gave it to someone else to pay. Okay, now we're going to get more into this case. Shimchao etzal chemvani ve'etzal shulchani. I know over there. Ibai Elihu, here's a very interesting question. Chozer oino chozer. If I give the money to pay you to a chemvani or a shulchani and he doesn't pay you, so who do you take your issue to? Do you chozer back to me and say, hey, listen, you gave the money to the storekeeper, but he never paid me? Or do you go to the chemvani and I have nothing to do with this anymore? Okay? So, there's a machloket, interestingly. Rav Sheshan Amar Eino Chozer, Rabba Amar Chozer. Okay? Rabba says you can go back to the original guy, which makes a lot more sense because your deal was with him, right? Amar Rabba Minami Nala. Where do I get this from? Midekatane Eino Aver Alav. What does it say? You're not over on Bal Talim, but what does it seem to imply? We've seen this many times. Mavaru Delo Avar, but Hamehadar Hadar. It doesn't mean he's exempt entirely. It just means there's no Isser of Bal Talim. It's almost like I tried to explain about the Gezel. It's not that it's forbidden to, of course it's forbidden to steal from a non-Jew, but you're not over on Lo Tigzo. Okay? In other words, you still can't do it, right? You're still the point person, but you're not over on the Lo Taseh. And comes Rosh Hashan, and he says, no, Amar, my Eino Over, Eino Patora Lavor. Eino Over means you've done your share, you're finished, you're totally patur at this point. Okay, machloket about it. You can see, I didn't look up Lahalach HaLavaseh, but usually where the little letter is there, that bet, that goes to the Amish Pat, so you see we actually paskin like Rabba, which makes more sense. Right? It also matches that case we saw, that complicated case where the guy said, I paid you. Remember, there were the three parties, the Chembani said, I paid the guys, and the guys said we never got paid, and everybody swears back to the original owner. So that's still clearly sides with Rabba. I don't remember who speaks there. I even think maybe it was Rosh Hashanah Rabba. I don't remember. But anyway, it would pay to look at that sugya compared to here. Now we have another. We're going to have a lot of interesting sugyot here in the rest of the daf. They asked Rosh Hashanah Kablanut, Over alav mishum bal talin, or Eino over alav mishum bal talin. Until now, we've been talking about someone you hire per hour. But what if you hire someone to clean your laundry, right? You go to the dry cleaners and you bring your stuff or you bring your car to get fixed. Is there bal talin or not? Uman koneh b'shevach kli v'halvahi o ein uman koneh b'shevach kli v'schiruti. We saw this issue before, which is when an uman does his work, an uman, a kavlan, these are all interchangeable words, okay? They mean someone who gets a job from you. They don't usually work, right? They work per job, not per hour. You pay them to do something. So how is it viewed? Does it mean that they're koneh b'shevach kli, meaning what? When you give them your car to fix, they own your car, sort of pseudo-ownership for that time, and when they return it to you, they return it at a higher value because they fixed whatever was broken. So your car is now worth more. And what are you paying for them? You're paying them for? It's like a halva'ah, like they borrowed your car, and they return it, and now you pay them for the amount that they upped the value of your car. Okay? That's called Uman Koneh B'Shevach Kli. Koneh B'Shevach Kli, and then it's Halva'ah. Or do we say, Ein Uman Koneh B'Shevach Kli, Uschiruti? Or do we view him as just a regular worker? The same way you have a regular worker who you pay per hour. So this guy you pay per job. He's still a worker. He's still doing a job for you. He doesn't have any rights. You know, he's not pseudo do a kinyan sort of on the object. And if it's Schirut, then we're going to say it's Bebal Talin. And if it's Uman Koneh B'Shevach Kli, then obviously there's no Bal Talin. You're just rebuying back your object. So Amar Lehu Rav Shimon, it's a great, you know, conceptual concept of how you view these things. So what's the biggest nafkamina, right? This is classic. I mean, we'll see it inside in a minute. But let's say the guy calls you and says your car is fixed and you don't pick it up for a week and a half. Are you depriving him of his salary, basically? So if you look at it as Uman Koneh B'Shevach Kli, then no. He's just reselling you back your item. You can buy it whenever you want. If it's, see, he's doing work, right? We never really think about this when you delay picking something up, but you're really delaying payment to these people who did their work. So if you view it as schirut, then you're actually responsible to pick it up right away because they're deserving of their money, right? You order something, right? You never think about that, but you've ordered something in the shop. I'm the worst. I always delay. I never pick it up right away. But really, according to this one way of reading it, it's a problem because you're not giving them their money. They worked, they did something, and you didn't pay them.
We saw that in the Melchinam case, that situation where you leave the object and he says, come pick up.
Right, exactly. We saw it in the sixth parak, exactly.
It didn't
exactly
say anything there about you have to... It's
about Bal Talin. It didn't bring the issue up of Bal Talin, but it did bring up this issue, exactly. Okay, so Amar Lehu Rav Sheshet Over. Okay, you are Over on Bal Talin, which means that Ein Uman Koneh B'Shevach Kli. So now they say, V'hatanya eino over, but doesn't it say in a braita, you're not over on Bal Talin, meaning Uma would be Koneh B'Shevach Kli? So hatam shimcheu etzal chemvani ve'etzal shulchani. When it's said in that braita, eino over, it must be in a case where you gave the money to pay for the object, which actually would be a very strange case, because if you have to pick up the item yourself anyway, why would you have given it to a third party? But the point is, that must be in a case when you're not over, is because there's some side issue, meaning you gave the money to some third party to pay, and that's why. Neima Mesayale, this, by the way, we also saw this sugya. Why don't we say that this supports it? Hanotein talito l'uman, gamra v'hodi'o, afilu mikam v'adasara yamim, eino over mishum bal talin. So what do you see here? Well, let's start. We'll see in a minute. If you give your talit to an uman, and he finishes, right, he fixes it up, and then he calls you and says it's ready, so even from here until 10 days, you're not over mishum bal talin. But nitanalo b'chatzi ayom, now here they're distinguishing between, if you didn't pick it up, but once you pick it up, then the clock starts ticking. Okay, so nitanala b'chatzi ayom, he gives it back to you at midday. Mishashaka la v'chama over mishum bal talin. As soon as the sun sets, you're already over on bal talin if you didn't pay. V'yamar t'uman koneh b'shevach kli, am I over? Right? In other words, it must be that uman ain koneh b'shevach kli. Okay, so Amar of Mary, so by the way, according to this, it only, even if you say it's not koneh b'shevach kli, it's only once you pick it up. Not while it's still in his possession. Now, why he wouldn't is a good question, because logic would state that even if you haven't picked it up, the clock should start ticking. But here they say it's only once you get it back. Amar of Mary Bered Rav Kahana, Begarda Desarbalav. Here, remember this? It's a case where he's washing your clothes, right? And it's like some hard clothing, and he's trying to make it softer, and he's not actually changing your kli at all. He's not mashbiach the item. And that's why. It's a launderer, basically, who's not returning you anything in a it's not going to be worth more when you get it back. So then they say, what do you mean? The whole point of you giving it to him is to soften the hard garment, you know, by his laundering it. So if that's the case, that is shevach. So what do you mean that there's no shevach here? So what do they say? Right, it's that you gave it to him to tread on, and you're not paying him. In other words, in the end, they say this doesn't prove anything because this isn't kablanut at all. This is schirut. You're hiring him per tread. You pay him a me'ah per tread, and therefore you're going to be chayav. So in the end, what do they say? They tried to bring a support that ain uman koneh b'shevach kli, and they said, oh, the case you're bringing support from isn't even an uman case at all. Okay, it's a more schirut case. Okay, now we're going to get into this Sachir Bizmano Nishpa V'Notel. And here, this really relates, if you want to take perspective for a minute, to labor laws. Okay, we've talked about this before. How much do we protect the laborer, and how much do we protect the employer? Okay, if you live in Israel, obviously we're going to protect the labor much more. So the labor laws are very, very strong here. And part of the issues that we have with protecting the laborer are going to come up here. Okay, so that's why I find this very interesting sugya. Sachir bizmano nishba v'notel. Now remember our basic. What's the basic shvur we're always going to have? Nishba ve'eino mishalem. Remember? Okay, if you're going to swear, it's going to be generally because of the principle hamotzi mechavero alav haraya. The burden of proof lies on the person trying to be motzi the kesef. Therefore, if there's two parties are arguing over money, whoever has the money in his hands is going to say, listen, I swear that I don't need to pay you. But in this case, it's one of the exceptions to the rule. It's where we say, if it's within the time that I was supposed to get paid, okay, or let's say I was supposed to pay you, because generally I use that as the example. I'll give that example. I hire you to do work. And if it's within the time that I was supposed to pay you, meaning within the time that you were working and you hadn't yet finished the job, the assumption is that I haven't yet paid, because generally we pay in spirit elel of asof, we pay at the end. So therefore, if we're having a disagreement and I claim I paid you and you say, no, you didn't, you have rights and you can nishba v'notel. Even though generally we would say that I should nishba v'eino mishalem in a classic case, because we'd say, amotzi mechavero alav haraya. You want to prove that you didn't get paid, you have to prove it. But in this case, we say nishba v'notel. It's different, though, if it's after zmano, because remember, what did we assume? After zmano, the assumption is that I paid on time. Okay, that's the assumption, because people aren't going to want to be over on Baal Talin, and therefore the assumption is I paid on time. So if we're having a disagreement 2 days later, the zchuyot with me, and I can swear that I didn't pay. I'm sorry, I can swear that I paid, that I don't need to pay. So, now the Gemara is going to ask, obviously, why? Sachir, amai takinu le rabbanan lemishtaba v'shakil. Why did they make this takana against the general principle? Hamotzi mechaver olav haraya and nishba v'eino mishalem. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, halachot gedolot shanu kan. Great halachot were learned about this. So first of all, the Gemara says, Hane hilchata ninu? Hane takanot ninu? These aren't halachot, these are takanot. What it means halachot, what it means takanot? Okay, I'll go with one interpretation. Halachas, halacha le Moshe Mitzinai. This was passed down to Moshe Mitzinai, he says. And they said, what do you mean? This isn't halacha le Moshe Mitzinai. This is a takana the rabbis instituted later. So El Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. So Rav Yehuda now says, okay, so it's not halachot gedolot. I meant the Shmuel said takanot gedolot shanu kan. It's takanot gedolot. They made a, this was like a big takana. So now they say gedolot michlal diika ktanot. What you're saying, this is so great, but there's takanot gedolot and there's takanot ktanot. Anytime the rabbis make a takana, the assumption here is they mean a takana against Torah principles. Right, where they go against what the general Torah principle is, what that's they're all gedolot. So therefore, instead of Rav Yehuda, now we're going to have, and those were two options of what Rav Yehuda said in the name Shmuel. Comes Rav Nachman Alamar, Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel. Rav Nachman says, no, this is what Shmuel meant to say. This is what he said. Takanot kvuot shanukan. They made a takana kvuah. That this is, in other words, a set print takana. What do you call a takana? An institute. Way to fix something, right? Enactment. That's a good word. Okay. So, shvua de balabayati. In other words, mal from the ikar alacha, the shvua should be on the balabayit. Vakura rabbanan, the shvua de balabayit. Vishadua asachir. Right. They moved it from the balabayit. They put it upon the sachir. Mishum kedei chayav de sachir. Because this is how he makes his livelihood. Right. If he doesn't get paid, he's not going to have his money. So because of that, we're going to let him swear and get his money. So then they say, what do you mean? Mishum kedei chayav de sachir mifsadna le labal abayit? Okay, this is why I said this is classic labor law. What do you mean? Why do we always side on the side of the laborer? What about the employer? Isn't this his livelihood also? Right? In other words, why should, just because we should always pay the person more and side against the employer? That doesn't make any sense. So because of that, we're going to be mafsi labal abayit. Bal abayit gufei. So now they're going to answer, no, the balabai gufei nichale de mishtaba sachir v'shakil. It's actually in the best interest of the balabai that the worker swear to get his wages. Why? Ki hechi de litagru le polim. What's going to happen if we don't allow the sachir, if the laborer has no rights, basically, and the sachir can, and the the employer can always say, oh, I paid you. He's never going to find workers. No one's going to be willing to work under conditions like that. Okay, now obviously they're going to do this the flip now, though, right? And this is so classic, right? So, sachir gufei, nicha le de mishra ba'al bayit b'yivka, ki hecha de l'tagru ba'al bayit. Right? So, in other words, what do you mean, though? The worker, if we don't give any rights, if we side too much with the labor rights, no one's going to want to hire anybody. Because it's, right, as we see in this country, you hire someone and, you know, if they get pregnant, you can't fire them for another year and a half till they, you know, it's so hard to hire people, and then you're responsible for so many extra things. You have to pay them pension, you have to pay them pizza, you have to, it's so difficult. No one's going to ever want to, right? And if they can just swear you never paid me and you'll have to pay double, why would I want to do that? So basically, it's in the worker's best interest that we protect the employer so that he'll hire workers. Otherwise, he won't hire workers and I won't get a job. So, al-korchei agar sachir, nami. One second, how do we read this? Sorry. Sorry, I read it wrong. That's why. Okay, it ends before. So balabayit al korche agar. Right. They're saying a balabayit, no matter what, you're not worried that he's not going to hire people because he needs workers. In other words, in the end, even if the labor laws are so strong, you're still going to want to hire people. So now they say, right, the same thing. So, ela balabayit al korche agar sachir. So they say, nami bal korche, sachir, nami bal korche itagar. In other words, what are you talking about? The workers also, no matter what, are always going to want to get hired because otherwise they won't be able to work. So, ela, it can't be because of all these reasons, okay? In the end, it has to do with something else which we've seen before, which is ela balabayit tarub bepoalim, who he's got a lot of people working for him, and he can't pay attention to who he already paid and who he didn't pay. And therefore, we assume that who's going to pay more attention to whether they got paid, the individual who's waiting for his money, rather than the employer who has tons of employees he has to deal with. So, ihachi, native lebelo shvua. If we're clearly not relying on the knowledge of the balabayit, then why should the guy even have to swear? He should just be able to come forward and say, listen, I didn't get paid, and that's enough. So what are the answer? Kedei lafis tatosha balabayit. No, but the balabayit's going to feel like hu oved alai, right? He's tricking me, you know, he's cheating me. So therefore, we make him swear. So now they suggest a better suggestion, which is v'netav le be'edim. Why don't we just make an institution, or an enactment, that everybody who hires workers should pay them in front of witnesses? Okay, sound like a good plan? No, tshvichalu milta. I mean, come on. Every time you're going to go pay your worker, you're going to have to find witnesses. That's a headache. V'netivle meikara. Why doesn't he pay him up front? And then we'll go based on the principle, right? In other words, if we're always siding on the laborer, if it's betoch zmano, then why don't we just say, instead of saying we normally pay in the end, let's say we normally say pay at the beginning, in which case, if we always pay up front, then we can always assume that the balabayit has paid, and then we're good. So what are they saying? No, shneim rotzim b'hakafa. For both of them, it's better to get paid later. Now, why? The owner doesn't want to put up the money right now. He maybe doesn't have the money on hand. He'd rather push off his payment. And the worker can claim, I don't want to get my money at the beginning of my job and I'll be walking around all day with my money on me. What if someone steals it? What if I lose it? What if it drops? He'd rather get his money at the end of the day when he's on his way home. It's much safer that way. So basically, you know, neither one wants to, it's in the best interest not to do that. Okay, fine. We'll stop here. We'll pick up from this tomorrow. More questions, because it kind of leads into the next page. Very interesting, you know, the constant struggle. I mean, this for sure goes on for anybody who has workers who work for them, or the reverse, work for people who has more rights than the other, and what do you do when there's a disagreement, and it's very relevant.